Robbie Romeiser here. I'm excited about today's program, so excited, in fact, that I've included over 20 minutes of bonus material for you after the on-air portion of Career Callings finishes playing. I trust you will be blessed, as I have been, by today's featured guest.
You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Have a life verse, I must confess, but I do have a lot of verses that I like to apply to my life. And the one that's been kind of playing in my brain every morning when I've gotten up over the past 2 or 3 weeks is Psalm 118:24. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. So I don't care what's going on in your life right now, just cling to that verse, because, you know, David wrote that when he was running away from Saul. And if you need a little background music to help you out with that verse, just think of that good old TV show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. You know, it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another edition of Career Callings, where our purpose is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, and phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. I have an awesome guest today, and his name is Presley Stutz. Presley is president and CEO of Presidium Partners, and at Presidium Partners, he helps people develop business relationships, recruits and manages agents, cultivates leads, and sells a variety of health insurance, life insurance, and annuities to assist individuals in providing for their financial needs and goals. Also, Presley provides business strategy and branding advice for small businesses and startup companies. And Master Stutz, I am going to expect you to give us some advice on the Career Callings radio show today. How are you, sir?
Hey, Robbie, I'm fine. Thanks for having me on. And, you know, my advice in 50 cents may, well, it's probably 95 cents to get you a cheap cup of coffee today.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'll take any kind of cup of coffee, cheap or otherwise. So
there you go.
Bring it on. Bring it on, man. Well, I'm glad to have you with us today. And I just gave a brief intro of who you are, but you have a lot of background that has led you to where you are today. So give us a quick brief overview of where you are in your career and how you got there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I'm a small business strategist. I particularly focus in on the healthcare industry. As many people are probably aware that in the last 3 or 4 years, the new Affordable Care Act has brought a lot of challenges to companies, rules, regulations, and burdens. And I help companies kind of navigate the treacherous waters of all of these new rules and regulations to help them stay compliant, number one, but number two, the bottom line is always important to a small business, and we go in and we create a lot of savings for the companies. So, you know, I've been in the financial services industry for the last 25, 28 years, and I enjoy interacting with people and helping them. As an aside, I also had a career of in the military, in the Naval Reserve. I was a Navy chaplain, and I spent, 30 years, 7 months, 3 weeks, and 3 days, but who's counting, right?
Yeah, really.
And as a Navy chaplain, obviously, 22 of my 30 years, I was attached to the Marine Corps, and I worked with a lot of young men and young women, counseling them, working with them through some of their issues. And over the years, I managed to get myself recalled to active duty on a number of occasions. And I got my opportunity to go play in a big sandbox and to really minister on the front lines with a lot of young men and women in the Marine Corps.
Now, are you...
Who I am. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, are you still in any way tied to the chaplaincy, or is that, are you pretty much retired from that now?
Yeah, no, I retired in 2011. After 30 years, they tell you it's time to go to pasture. Some young bucks come in and take over. So I've been retired a little over 5 years now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it just so happens fortuitously that a few nights ago, we had a speaker on a Sunday night service at our church, and he is a guy that wants to minister to the military. One of the reasons why is because of the growing antipathy that the military has for Christian chaplains, and he wants to be able to plant churches just outside of military bases to be able to minister to those folks. And that actually kind of leads me into one of the questions I wanted to ask you, and it's usually not the one I ask first, but because of what is becoming a growing antipathy towards chaplains in the military, I'm just curious. I think I know the answer is yes, and you may correct me otherwise. But have you had a time in your life when you have had your faith challenged, perhaps even in that chaplaincy position, and how did you react to that?
A number of times. In the military, there's a hierarchy, and in the chaplain corps, it's one of the staff corps of the Navy, and we have our own chief of chaplains. And there are a number of good men who lead, but over time, and particularly through a lot of political correct doctrine that's pushed upon the military, I can remember there was a point in my career where I was told by my senior chaplain, look, you can no longer pray in official functions in the name of Jesus. You could just pray in the name of God, but it's got to be kept very generic. And I respectfully disagreed with him, and I continued throughout my career when I would pray. My faith group, as a born-again Christian, I was endorsed by the Southern Baptist Convention. I would pray in the name of Jesus. They didn't like it. It affected me in my career from the standpoint of promotions, because I wasn't willing to play the game, so to speak. I wasn't willing to follow more of a liberal line of theology. We were discriminated against. It wasn't overt, but we didn't get the promotions. We didn't get the choice assignments because of, we failed to follow a lot of the political correct doctrine that's out there. And since I've retired, I understand I keep in touch with a few of my buddies who are still on active duty. It's gotten worse, where they're being pressured to perform weddings for gay people and a number of other things. So it's very tough. Pray for the guys who are Christians in the military, particularly the chaplains, because there is a lot of pressure put on them in today's politically correct environment.
When you go through something like that, when you're challenged in your faith, there's a struggle that goes on, and through that struggle, God is trying to teach us something. So I want you to take us back to a time during the period when you're being discriminated against for being a Christian, Christian chaplain in the military. What lesson did God teach you through those struggles?
Well, the main lesson that I learned was to stay steadfast and strong in your convictions and beliefs. I wasn't in their face about anything. I didn't do anything to provoke anything, but I knew that I had to sleep with myself every night, and I knew that I had to just stay steadfast in what I believed. And I think that was the biggest thing. Now, there was a lot of intimidation. There was some fear. In the military, every officer periodically gets what is called a fitness report. and your promotion is based off of that fitness report. And, you know, there were a number of times where if you don't get all A's and B's on your fitness report, you know, you're a one percenter, as we call it, you know, your odds for promotion fall precipitously. But that happened with a number of chaplains, you know, who were very firm in their convictions. And, I mean, they weren't in the face of anyone, but the face of political correctness addressed us. And we had to take a quiet yet resolute resolve to stand our ground in the face of not being promoted. And I retired as a naval commander. You know, I could have become a captain in the Navy, but that wasn't in the cards. But that's okay. You know, I knew that I could sleep with myself at night.
Well, I tell you, as you're talking about that and relating your lesson from those experiences, what's coming to my mind is this. You know, there are going to be times in our lives, in whatever vocational setting we are in, where it's very, very likely we're going to have to make a choice. And that choice is to please our Lord and Savior or to please men. And so many choices in life come down to that. And, you know I have failed at times in my life when I've chosen to please men instead of the Lord. I think and hope and pray that now I'm much more consistent in pleasing the Lord than pleasing men. But my challenge to everybody listening right now is this. When that time comes, whether you're a chaplain in the military or a florist, or a baker or whatnot, when that time comes, don't wait till you get to that challenge to figure out what you're going to do. Go ahead and make the decision now to stand with your Lord, knowing that, just like Presley, you can put your head down on the pillow at night. And number two, when you get to heaven, the Lord's going to tell you, well done, good and faithful servant. So thank you for sharing that story, Presley, yes. And that those experiences. Back in a minute with more from our featured guest. Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, the more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a health care home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you. I opened the digital doors of CareerCallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, TodaysQuoteFromGod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to CareerCallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's CareerCallings.net/resources. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources. We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings. audibletrial.com/careercallings.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at WBCS.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
Warning.
Our programs
can have a transforming effect
on your life.
You found Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back from the break to Career Callings, 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or Robbie at careercallings.net, R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Let's get back to our interview with our featured guest. Let's talk about habits for a second. What would you say is your number one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
I think it's persistency and consistency. You know, I never was a star athlete in school. I did play, you know, ball. I could never knock the ball over the fence, but I was a consistent hitter of singles. And, you know, if you go back to Aesop's Fables, the tortoise and the hare, the tortoise won the race. And I think in our walk as Christians, as also with our business lives, I think just being persistent and consistent in what I do, it's a daily repetition that makes me successful. You know, they were interviewing Cal Ripken one time, and you know, he said every day when he got out to practice, he always hit 1,000. He took 1,000 swings at the ball every day. You know, Tiger Woods said, you know, he would hit 1,000 golf balls every day. I mean, all these professionals. It's the simple repetition day in, day out that I think really makes us successful. There's not one thing necessarily that I do, but I think it's just a compilation of just staying persistent, consistent with my habits.
Mm-hmm. Now, just in case there might be a different one here, the next question I want to ask you is, do you happen to have one particular business habit? Because that one I referred to as a personal habit. Do you happen to have a particular business habit that also helps drive a lot of your career success?
Well, yeah. I would say that business habit is in my business, for example, I have to create my own leads for sales. And if I am not on the phone or not on the computer, making phone calls, calling people, I get a ton of no's all the time. But I develop relationships. That is important, and trust me, there are days when that phone weighs 1,000 pounds and I just don't feel like picking it up. Mm. But I know that if I don't pick it up, then my pipeline dries up and then the money I earn from my family goes away. So, you know, on a regular basis, on a daily basis, I have to pick up the phone. I have to make the phone calls. And I know that it's the law of large numbers. I'm going to go through a large number of people before I get someone who says, yes, I'll sit down and talk with you. Typically, when I can get someone to sit down and talk with me and I explain to them what I can do for them, it's okay, let's see how we can get this started.
Sounds like persistence and consistency, just like Cal Ripken taking those 1,000 swings a day, man. That's what it sounds like to me. There you go. You put it, why don't you give Cal a call, let him know that he inspired you.
and another thing that I do, I go out and I find mentors. I've got a gentleman who's 81 years old. He still runs his own computer company. He's got about a dozen employees. And I meet with him weekly, and I take him to lunch, and we just chat about business. You know, he's become a second father to me. And I think it's important that we all, as far as a business tip, we all need to find a mentor. If you can't find one personally, you know, with the advent of modern technology and YouTube, and I mean the John Maxwells of the world, Simon Sinek, there are a number of business mentors out there who are giving away tons of knowledge and tidbits of information at no cost to you. And I just think, I've become a perpetual student of what it takes to be faithful and to be persistent, to be consistent. And when I can be faithful and persistent and consistent, then the successes come.
I think absolutely. We get it back
sometimes. We all want to be a success. What do I have to do to be a success? Well, you just got to be faithful and persistent, consistent in what you do.
Well, and actually is going to lead me into my next question. I mean, as I mentioned in my intro of you, you provide business strategy and branding advice for small businesses. And a lot of people listening to the show are either small business people or they would like to be. So what advice in particular, what three things would you suggest to either an existing or new startup business owner? What three things would you tell them to do in order to be successful in their business?
Well, I think the first thing is to make sure you've got the leadership of the Holy Spirit, particularly if it's a startup. You know, I get a lot of opportunities that have come my ways over the years, and I get started, and bam, I fall flat on my face. And God says, you didn't ask me.
Yeah, really.
No? I think the very first thing is to be grounded and make sure that God is leading you to do whatever you're doing. Then the second thing is plan your work. We've got to set forth a plan. My dad always used to say, if you don't know where you're going, you probably end up somewhere else. And a lot of people fly by the seat of their pants. And I think there's something to be said. It's in Scripture, you know, to count the cost. Plan your work is the second thing I would say. And then the third thing is be willing to work your plan. You know, I've seen a lot of people with some great ideas, great plans, and they'll put it together in a business plan and they give it to me. And, you know, as I'm working with them, then you find out that they're not willing to pay the price it takes to get it off the ground, because success is not easy. It takes elbow grease. It takes work. So I think the three things, you know, make sure the Holy Spirit's leading you in what you're doing, plan your work, and then work your plan.
And I would imagine that the habit you have of cultivating mentors really helps you on all three of those steps. But I would imagine even that third step, the working of the plan, is probably where the greatest value is, because one of the things I found the hardest in my life to do is to stay on track. And if you have that mentor who's going to be an accountability partner with you to kind of help you or to scold you if you're not working that plan accordingly, that's what I think the real value of a mentor is, one of the biggest values of a mentor. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I think we all can have a little bit of ADD, attention deficit disorder in what we do. And, you know, we can become like a little kid. He's sitting there playing with a toy, but all of a sudden another shiny truck catches his eye. and he discards the one toy and he goes and runs toward the other toy. So I would agree with you. You've got to just stay persistent and consistent with your plan and in working that plan. I sure do.
If you could recommend just one book other than the Bible, because I think we would all agree the Bible is the most important book any of us can consume and study. But if you could recommend just one book other than the Bible for our listeners, what would it be and why?
You know, years ago, as a young man, I read a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And for a lot of people, that title turns them off, particularly the Grow Rich. And in our culture today, you know, we equate the word rich with money. But and that's part of it, don't get me wrong. We all have to provide for our families. But what Napoleon Hill was talking about is being rich in your life, every aspect of your life, the richness of it. Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill, it's an old classic. It's probably close to 100 years old, but it's a very powerful, powerful book.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I read it myself years ago and need to read it again soon.
There you go.
Two more questions for you, and then we'll be done. The first one is this. If you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go out into the real world?
I would tell them to make your bed every morning.
Now, why would you tell them to do that?
Yeah. It's discipline. It's a simple discipline. And my life as a young kid, and I was a Boy Scout and an Eagle Scout, and I joined the military, and I found that discipline was so important to my success in life. And without discipline, we're just flailing in the wind. We're flapping in the wind. And so I think it's very important. And if we can be faithful in the little things of life, God then entrusts us with bigger things in life.
That's good.
So I would say make your bed every morning. It's real important. You know, learn those small, simple disciplines.
That's very good advice. Very good. And the last question I have for you, what is the best way people can connect with you?
I'm on Facebook, Presley Stutz. My email address is presleystutz@gmail.com. And if you want my phone number, I don't mind giving that out, 864-881-4777. If you call me, just say, hey, I heard you on Robbie's radio program, because I won't, you know, that way I'll be able to connect the dots.
That way you'll know whether or not you want to return the phone call, right? That's a beautiful thing about caller ID and voicemail. It's a wonderful, wonderful call screener, no doubt about it. We will definitely link to those things in our show notes page of today's broadcast. And Presley Stutz, I want to thank you for joining the program today. It's been a blessing, and certainly have learned a lot from you today.
Robbie, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and thanks for having me on. God bless you.
God bless you. Now, if you'd like to get a copy of today's broadcast and have Presley's wisdom at your ear canals as often as you would like, go to careercallings.net/radio, or you can subscribe to Career Callings on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio and get the broadcast that way. And of course, as always, we will include not only the on-air segment of this show at careercallings.net/radio, but we'll also have special bonus material that you'll be able to enjoy, and it's only available to those who subscribe to the podcast. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless. We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings. Throughout your career, no doubt you've had ups and downs. I want you to, if you will, take us to a time when you had a pretty strong challenge in your career that just was a huge struggle, maybe a career failure, something that really brought you low. Take us to that place and tell us the story of how you what that was and how you got there.
Oh, boy. Fresh out of seminary, and in order to become a Navy chaplain, there are some requirements. One, you have to have a Master of Divinity degree, minimally. And two, you have to have at least 3 years experience in the pastoral ministry. As a young boy, I'll go back and digress a little bit. I grew up in a broken home. My parents divorced when I was 5 or 6. Thank God for my granny, my grandmother on my mom's side. She made sure we were in church every Sunday possible. And we attended a little church in Flint, Michigan, where I grew up, called the Flint Baptist Temple, a little independent church. And when I was 12 years old, I got saved. Everybody told me, oh, you'll make a great preacher. You'll make a great preacher. You'll make a great preacher. Well, I let a lot of people talk me into becoming a great preacher, but it really wasn't in my heart necessarily. I went to seminary, but I graduated, and I took a church in North Carolina. I'm not going to mention the name of the church, but it was a very difficult situation because I came up against a lot of tradition and more or less the church operated like a club. There was very little spirituality in the church. I was expected to do certain things. I felt like a hireling, and I just didn't feel like I was free to minister as God was leading me. The people were very resistant. There was a small remnant in the church that really wanted to see the church change. The church was established way back in the early 1800s, and they had never gone much more than 100 members in the church in the 100 and some year history of the church. We started growing the church. I started reaching out to people in the neighborhood, up and down the streets, and brought in a lot of new people. And the old established members of the church got very threatened by these new people that were coming in. People we had led to the Lord, kids from trailer parks, they're not our kind of people were some of the comments, I had, made to me. And it was really tough. And, my prayer to God was, God, if these people in this church are really Christians, I don't want to have anything to do with them. God kept me there for 4 long years because he had a lot to teach me. I moved on from that situation to another church. But it was difficult dealing with, I guess we would call them carnal Christians. We find them in every church we go to today. And, I've had a number of people tell me, well, I'm leaving this church because they're not perfect. And I said, well, if you find the perfect church, don't join it. Because the minute you join it, you've just ruined it. Because none of us are perfect.
Yeah, I hear you, sir.
But that was a challenge. I had to learn to keep my mouth shut. There's a little bit of a fighter in me. I've got a little spunk in me. And, God took that. And I was young. I was in my early to mid-20s when I was pastoring there. And, you know, I had to learn to love people. And I had a great mentor, a senior Navy chaplain, who also pastored a church. And he knew exactly what I was dealing with because he'd been through it. And he challenged me one day as I was venting to him on a weekend when we had military duty. He said, you have a church directory, don't you? And I said, yeah, we've got a church directory. He said, I want to challenge you every day to go into the sanctuary where nobody's around and just get on your knees, and I want you to open up that directory, and I want you to start praying for those people. I followed his recommendation, and I'll tell you, when I got to a few different names in that directory, it was tough. And I said, God, it's hard for me to pray for this individual. And this is why, God. And, you know, the Spirit would speak to me and said, this is evermore the reason why you do need to pray for them. And I got to the point that I could love them in spite of themselves, and hopefully they could love me in spite of me, because I know I'm not the easiest person to love either. But that was one of the biggest challenges that I had early on in my career.
I tell you, you shared so many lessons that you learned from that. But let me tell you what kind of just came to my mind. Of all the things you just said, what really jumped out at me is that it doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you're a health insurance salesman. It doesn't matter if you are, you know, a real estate person or a baker or anything else. We all have to, through one path or another, come to the understanding that God put us where we are in our vocation to make an impact on other people. And many times that impact is going to be at the expense of our own inconvenience and sometimes personal hurt. And I think what I gathered from what you were saying, Presley, is when you went in there, it was a tough situation. But one of the biggest things you got from that tough situation is, Lord, humble me so that I can make an impact on these people the way you want me to. And did I gather a correct lesson from that? Would you agree that that's a lesson I should learn from that experience, Presley?
Yep, and it's a lesson I learned, and you're right. I think a lot of times in life, humility is missing. And, you know, Jesus, he had the heart of a servant. He was set at the end of the table. He was eventually moved to the front of the table. He washed the feet of the disciples. He served people. And I really believe that when we become servants is when we can have an effect on people's lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we just need to remember, you know, the world is always telling us, you know, when you go out looking for your job, you want to make sure that you're always happy. You're always happy. And I don't want to poo-poo that, because, you know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about how we are, you know, God wants us to enjoy our work, but we need to understand that some days we're going to not be so happy, and we're really there around those people to make an impact on them for Christ. So awesome. Awesome. Well, here's another question I have for you, Presley. Was there a time in your life when you were confused about which career path God would have you follow? And if so, how and when did he clear the smoke for you?
Yeah, you know, you talked about a favorite life scripture. Proverbs 16:9 says, the mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. And my life, I love the movie Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
You know, Forrest Gump was a simple guy who had a number of just very interesting life experiences as he grew up in the 60s. And, you know, my life is a little bit like Forrest Gump, you know. Yes, there are times when I've been confused, but I kind of go with the flow. I get excited, you know, when a change comes along, because I know that God's getting ready to show me something, teach me something different. So I don't run from those circumstances anymore. I embrace them. And it took me a while to be able to embrace them because, you know, let's face it, we all love routine. We all get complacent in the way we live and how we live. And I think routine is important in many respects. But I think at the same time, we need to be open to new experiences. I will tell you, my 30 years in the military has taken me all over the world, and the travel and experiencing different cultures, different people, it's just been such an eye-opener. Because, you know, here in the upstate of South Carolina, we are literally the buckle of the Bible Belt here. And Christianity is practiced very faithfully, but culturally different all over the world. And it's just, it's awesome to see that, you know, sometimes we just try to put God in our own little box to keep it nice and neat, and it's not necessarily that way. But it's exciting and it's liberating, you know, when we can embrace some of these changes that, you know, or circumstances that we're introduced to throughout life.
Yeah, I hear you. But take me to a specific time when you had that confusion. Lord, I'm standing at a fork in the road. Which way do I go? And how did He give you the right direction?
Yeah. I had been recalled to active duty during Operation Desert Storm, which was back 1991, and I'd been at a church, and I spent a year on active duty, and I experienced things that people don't normally experience when you see young men die. And to me, watching someone transition at a young age from this life to the next was quite emotional. And when you see that happen several times, and when you see young men come back from the war and they're missing limbs or their bodies are burned, a number of other things, all of a sudden, the perspective that I had on life, there's the book, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. Everything's the small stuff. I saw that there are more important things in life than just the small stuff that I was worrying myself with. And I came back and I said, you know, God, I don't know what I need to be doing, but I just know that my ministry has to be more than just for me. Now, this is for me, was more than just pastoring in a local church at that time. And, you know, I had a love for business, and God kind of took that and redirected me. And I worked for a number of nonprofit organizations, helping them raise funds for their ministries. And I saw that it was that, you know, as long as we're faithful to God, I don't care if we're a butcher, baker, or a candlestick maker. The key is that whatever we do, we have to do it all for the glory of God. And our Christianity is not confined to the walls of the beautiful stained glass church. But if we're to live out our Christianity, we have to live it out in the marketplace, in the public space, in the classroom, in the boardroom. If Jesus is Lord, then He's Lord not only of just the church, but He's Lord of all of life. And I know I've kind of followed a couple rabbit trails there, but I wrap that up to say that I had a professor in seminary when he was talking to a bunch of us young guys in our preaching class. And he said, I'm going to tell you, all you guys in here are not cut out to be preachers. But that's going to be what's required of you when you pastor a church. He said, but I want to challenge you to do something. He said, I want to challenge you to love God with all your heart, your soul, and mind, and then do whatever you want.
And then do whatever you want. Yeah. I like it.
But it had a prerequisite, you know, love God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. And so coming out of that church situation, being recalled to active duty, and I've been recalled a number of times over my 30-year career, I saw that there's more to life than just some of the petty problems that we could argue about as to what the color of the choir robe should be or the color of the carpet or the color of the pews. You know, there are a life and death issues out there. And so, you know, God gave me at that point, I had an aha moment where I had the freedom to take my ministry to the marketplace. Paul made tents as he ministered. And I think oftentimes, and there are a number of powerful, excellent pastors and churches out there. But just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you have to be a pastor. That was what I struggled with as a young man. I thought I had to be a pastor. But I saw that I could take my ministry and I could move it into other arenas. And, you know, God gave me the knowledge and the freedom to do that in my career.
Absolutely wonderful. And this, I've had to learn a lot over my adult life as well. That, you know, there are so many people in business that can reach people for the Lord that pastors will never reach. And so absolutely everything we're in doing, every one of us has a mission field. And I want to, that leads me into my next question for you, Presley. How are you currently using your business efforts as your mission field to impact others for Christ?
Well, you know, I think it's in the example that we set in our lives. my dad always used to say, now do what I say, not what I do.
And, yeah.
You know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My dad was an alcoholic. He had a number of failings in his life. So I tried, you know, to take my life. And, you know, people will read you like a book. And they will read not necessarily what you say, but they read you by what you do. And if I can be a man of my word, keep my word, I think that's very important in my testimony. I'm not out there in your face, you know, are you saved, brother? You know, but I will have a conversation with people over time and, you know, just kind of test the waters to see where they are with their spirituality. And, you know, I've had a number of conversations in my career where I haven't been in an official pastoral role where, you know, I've led a number of people to the Lord just simply because of the way I live my life and, you know, some questions that get asked of me. And it's a beautiful experience. I don't know if I answered your question.
You did. And I appreciate the answer that you gave because you're so right. Our walk is one of our greatest testimonies. Obviously not the only one because the Lord expects us to share words of the gospel with people, but certainly our walk is a tremendous draw to those around us to the Lord. Have you had a specific time in your life when God maybe was directing you down a career path that you, it was obvious to you, you knew he wanted you to do this, but you just did not want to go down that path, or maybe it just didn't make any sense to you. Have you ever had a time like that?
You know, I've had a number of sharp right turns in my career. But I've never fought it. I've kind of been like, oh, what's around the corner? I'm a naturally curious. I was always a curious kid. You know, I asked my mom a million questions. Why? So I've just learned in life, you know, to take the attitude that if there is a change that comes, to look at it, to explore it, to pray about it, and to embrace it if that's what God's leading me. But I don't think I've necessarily fought anything going into it. As I told you, my first struggle as a young pastor of my first church, after I got into it, I fought it and struggled with it. I take the attitude, you know, in life, you know, be happy and embrace life. I mean, I'm looking out my office window today. I see a beautiful sunny day with some few cotton candy clouds and, you know, beautiful green grass. I've learned to be thankful every day for the breath that I have. I just choose to be happy rather than to be negative and sad. And I honestly do believe it's a choice that we have.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm with you. Absolutely. Presley, do you have a particular productivity tool that you use? Maybe something from the internet. Maybe it's something else, but a specific tool that helps you be more effective in the workplace.
Yeah, I use an app on my phone and my tablet. It's called Keep, K-E-E-P. It's free. It's simple to download. I think the biggest challenge when you get busy as a professional is remembering everything that you need to do, follow up. And, you know, they say the fortune is in the follow up. And this little app helps me stay organized. It's simple. I just push on the app. I speak into it, and it sets a reminder. It sets a task. It will go schedule an appointment for me. It keeps me on track. I think one of my challenges is I try to do too much, cram too much into a day, and sometimes when you do that, you become very overwhelmed. So that little app, it's free. It's called Keep. Helps keep me organized.
Well, I tell you, we all need something like that. I think I've got a couple of things I've been using that way, but I'm going to check that one out too and see if that might be better than what I'm already doing.